Views and opinions of findings and or devices discussed in this podcast are those of the host, subject matter experts, and or guests. Facts represented constitute our understanding at the time of the podcast, whereas updated factual information may be developed. They should not be construed as pronouncing an official Department of Defense's position, policy, decision, or endorsement. The hosts and guests of QBIS may be defense contract personnel who support Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence. Status of all hosts and guests will be identified during introductions to the podcast. Hi, welcome to Clinical Updates in Brain Injury Science Today, or QBIST, a podcast for healthcare providers about current research on traumatic brain injury, also known as TBI. This program is produced by TBI COE. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Stussy, a contractor in support of TBI COE. Today I'll be speaking with Dr. Donald Marion, a neurosurgeon and TBI subject matter expert, also a contractor in support of TBI COE. Don and I will discuss a study titled Diagnosis of Sports-Related Concussion Using Symptom Report or Standardized Assessment of Concussion by Dr. Kimberly Harmon and colleagues and published in JAMA Network Open in June 2024. Don, thanks for bringing this article to our attention. So why was this study done?
The rapid diagnosis of concussion is a high priority in the military health system to avoid sending a service member back to the fight when they have cognitive and physical deficits as a result of the concussion, and to avoid the risk of a second concussion before they have fully recovered from the first. In the 1990s, Keith, Dr. Michael McCray and colleagues developed and validated the Standardized Assessment of Concussion, or SAC, in sideline assessment studies of high school and college football players. The SAC has four components that include tests for orientation, immediate memory, concentration, and delayed recall. A 10-word list is currently used to assess immediate memory and delayed recall. In his studies of high school and college football players, Dr. McCray found that concussed players scored significantly below non-concussed controls on all four SAC measures and significantly below their own pre-injury baseline performance. Follow-up testing at 2 to 7 days after injury documented return to pre-injury baseline for most players. So, Keith, in 2007 to 2008, at the height of military kinetic activity in the global war on terror, the Military Acute Concussion Evaluation, or MACE, was developed by military neuropsychologist Dr. Lou French, working at TBI COE, then known as DFBIC, and in collaboration with Dr. Michael McCray and Lieutenant Colonel Mark Baggett. McCray worked with Dr. French to have the SAC included as the cognitive test on the MACE. The SAC remains the primary cognitive assessment in the current iteration of the MACE, and the SAC has been incorporated into the Sideline Concussion Assessment Tool, or SCAT, as the cognitive subtest in this tool as well that is frequently used by high schools and universities. So, Keith, post-concussive SCAT scores, including the SAC subscores, can be assessed using either normative data or change scores derived from a previously performed baseline test. However, SCAT normative values may differ based on the age and sex of the athlete, so the use of normative values may result in a misdiagnosis of people who would naturally score either very high or very low on the SCAT, even when not concussed. This issue can be overcome by comparing test scores obtained following a suspected concussion to the individual's own baseline scores. So the purpose of this study was to assess the diagnostic accuracy of self-reported post-concussion symptoms determined with the Post-Concussion Symptom Scale, or PCSS, with the 10-word SAC, or Standardized Assessment of Concussion, using a baseline and retest approach.
Well, thanks, Don, for that history, especially as it relates to the military and the MACE. I actually wasn't even aware of that. So if you could get into more detail, how was this study done?
So, Keith, English-speaking NCAA athletes in any sport from the University of Washington, Oregon State University, Stanford University, and the University of Colorado were included if they sustained a concussion between July 13th of 2020 to December 31st of 2022 and had an acute concussion evaluation within 48 hours of their injury. Athletes were excluded if they had a concussion in the previous year and if they did not have a complete baseline and acute injury evaluation using the 10-word memory list for both the athlete with concussion and the control athlete. All athletes had complete baseline concussion testing done prior to participating in sport at least once. If an athlete was concussed and agreed to participate in the study, a matched control athlete was selected based on team, sex, and gender, concussion comorbidities including ADHD, learning disorder, migraine headache disorder, or mood disorder, and baseline total symptom and total SAC scores within a 2-point range. The control athlete was given the SCAT-5 within 2 weeks of the incident concussion to assure that season and school stressors were similar to those of the athlete with concussion. This also meant the athlete with concussion and the control athlete had a similar amount of time between initial baseline testing, which is done at the same time for teams, and repeat testing. The diagnosis of concussion was made by team medical personnel, and I think that's very important, Keith. Often in these kinds of studies, medical personnel do not make the diagnosis. But that was the case here. The post-concussion symptom scale, or PCSS, the way they determine the individual symptoms, and the SAC were performed by team medical staff. A total score was calculated for the SAC, which included orientation, or 0 to 5 points, immediate memory, 0 to 30 points, concentration, which is 0 to 5 points, and delayed recall, which is 0 to 10 points, with a maximum of 50 points possible on the SAC. Higher scores in the total SAC and its subcomponents indicate better performance. Time from injury to the SAC evaluation was also noted as immediate, or 2 hours, between 2 and 8 hours, between 8 and 24 hours, and again between 24 and 48 hours in the fifth group.
Yeah, Don, I agree. I think you pointed out that the evaluations were done by medical personnel, and I think that is important. And I would also just mention their methodology as far as the timing and how they got their controls. I was actually quite impressed with how they did it to make sure that the concussed individuals really matched up with those controls. So that was good. You know, you mentioned, Don, during this that there's a 10-word memory part of the SAC. Isn't there also a 5-word memory test?
You know, that's a good question, Keith. Older individuals remember when the SAC was originally described by Dr. McCrae. And in that original version, it was a 5-word list for immediate memory and delayed recall that was used. But as time went on, the 5-word list was criticized for having low sensitivity and specificity. So a 10-word memory list was created to improve utility and also to eliminate a ceiling effect.
Great. Well, thanks for that clarification. So getting back to the study, what did they find?
There were 100 athletes with concussion and 100 control athletes who were initially enrolled. 8 pairs were dropped because either the athlete with a concussion or the control athlete did not have complete information, resulting in a final sample of 184 athletes, 96 men and 88 women, roughly 50-50. There were 92 concussed individuals that met inclusion criteria. Of all the athletes, 110, or 59%, played a sport other than football. As you well know, Keith, football is probably the most common NCAA sport that causes concussions. Concussions occurred most often in football, about 40%, and volleyball, or 15%. The median number of days between the baseline and the repeat test was 147 days for the symptom score and 198 days for the SAC. Median number of days between baseline and repeat testing for the SAC was similar in both athletes with a concussion and control athletes. All SAC tests had poor test-retest reliability, and there was significant variation in testing from baseline test to follow-up test, even in athletes without a concussion. There were no significant differences, however, in baseline scores between the concussion and control groups. The mean total SAC score in the group of athletes with concussion decreased by 2.2 points, orientation decreased by 0.17 points, immediate memory decreased by 1.19 points and delayed recall decreased by 1.08 points. These changes were statistically significant in all cases. In control athletes retaking the test, symptom score and symptom severity score did not significantly change. However, the mean total SAG score improved by 1.98 points, and the mean immediate memory score improved by 1.51 points, suggesting an important practice effect of retaking the SAG. Symptom score, symptom severity score, total SAG score, immediate memory score, and delayed recall score differentiated the groups of athletes with and without concussion. However, in individual athletes, only symptom scores based on the PCSS and symptom severity score had excellent diagnostic utility. The total SAG score, immediate memory, and delayed recall tests had poor to fair utility, and tests for orientation and concentration had little to no diagnostic utility. Keith, the total SAC immediate memory and delayed recall were not very sensitive for concussion. Indeed, 41 athletes with concussion, or 45% of those with concussion, scored the same or better than their baseline SAC score. Of the 92 participants with concussion, 34% were evaluated immediately, 16% between 2 and 8 hours after injury, 35% between 8 and 24 hours, and 15% between 24 and 48 hours after their injury. The diagnostic utility of the total SAC score decreased by 20 to 30% over time.
Don, those findings are quite remarkable. Do you think that post-concussive type problems, such as headaches or mood disorders, may have played a role in the results?
No, I don't think so, Keith. The investigators found that of all the participants, only 3% had a diagnosis of ADHD, 23% had mood disorders such as anxiety or depression, and 8% had headache or migraine disorders. And there were no significant differences in this regard between athletes with and without concussion.
All right, gotcha. In all these studies that we look at, there's always limitations. So can you describe what the limitations were for this study?
Sure, particularly because Keith, you and I are involved with the military. So we need to remember that this study included only Division I collegiate athletes and may not represent other populations, such as high school or professional athletes or active duty service members and veterans. There are three different word lists available in the SAC to decrease the possibility of learning effect, but a study in professional hockey players has shown that the 10 word lists are not equivalent. And non-equivalent lists may account for the SAC improvements observed in the control group upon retest. And thirdly, they did not control for all concussion history, although they excluded athletes or controls with a concussion in the previous year. As you know, Keith, studies have shown that those with more than three concussions may have lower baseline performance on the SAC.
Yeah, and that's a good point, especially for our military members that have deployed. You know, as you know, Don, many of them do sustain multiple concussions and sometimes in a fairly short period of time. So that's a great point. So again, what do you think are the key findings for our military providers that they need to take away from this study?
Keith, the main message here is that providers should listen closely to the symptoms service members have following a concussive event and not rely exclusively on the results of cognitive tests such as the SAC. This study found that reported symptoms are more sensitive than objective cognitive testing for identifying a concussion. Almost half of concussed athletes performed at or better than their baseline test results, in other words, within normal limits, on the SAC when it was repeated after their concussion, highlighting the limitations of the cognitive examination and the importance of symptoms. However, it can also be said that the worse an athlete scores on cognitive tests compared with their baseline score, the more likely they are to have had a concussion. And this has been observed in concussed service members as well as athletes.
Well, those are all great points. Thank you, Don, for presenting this most interesting study. That's all we have time for today. You can stay up to date on future episodes by subscribing to Cubist on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts, where you can also find links to the articles we discussed and other relevant resources. Cubist is produced and edited by Vinny White and was hosted today by me, Dr. Keith Stussy. It is a product of the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, a branch of the Research Support Division under the Research and Engineering Directorate of the Defense Health Agency, led by Branch Chief Dr. Katie Stout. Thank you for listening to this episode.